John chapter 6, probably you're familiar with the story. Maybe not. If not, praise the Lord, you're in the right place. This is one of the very few events that are recorded in all four of the Gospels. Our Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So John chapter 6, I'm going to be reading the passage, so you can just follow along, listen, or you can look in the scriptures if you'd like. John chapter 6 and number verse 1, after these things, the Lord's always doing something, right? We did this, and we're gonna talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the setting here of what's happening in just a few moments. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. As we've said before, best place for us to be is just following the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. God, thank you how we can come to it with full confidence, knowing that it's perfect and true and right. God, thank you for the lessons that are held in this passage. And God, I pray that we would make application personally to our life. God, thank you that as we sang just a few moments ago, little is much when you're in it. And God, thank you for the great comfort knowing that you shelter us and protect us and provide for us, as the ladies just sang. Lord, as we look at this passage, help us to see those truths again. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Where this takes place is in the nation of Israel. There's a sea, a big sea. It's called the Sea of Galilee. A lot of life in the Sea of Galilee. How many of you have seen the Sea of Galilee? All right, very good. Is it pretty? Is Tiberias really as nice as they say? Beautiful. Mrs. Bear says beautiful. All right, must be true. And there they are. That's where they're going. He's doing some things, but I want to move one step back. What just happened? You won't find it in John. We'd have to go to Matthew chapter 14 to find out what just happened. You don't have to go there. I'm going to tell you for sake of time and circumstances. What just happened, John the Baptist was killed. John the Baptist, his family member, best friend, died, and Jesus, and after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee. I can almost imagine, I know the words aren't there, if he just said, guys, I just need a minute. I know we've been busy. Maybe he was grief-sickened in his heart. Could you imagine? Maybe you've lost a loved one, a friend. And he goes and I just want to be alone for a few moments. He goes up into the mountain. He even brings his disciples with him there. Go with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We'll jump around a little bit, but not much. I want to give you the setting here first. The name of the message, so when little becomes much. When little becomes much. Mark chapter 6 and verse 33. Same story. If you read all the accounts of it, Matthew has pretty much the least amount of it to say about the circumstance. But each adds a little bit to it, and we'll reference each passage. Mark chapter 6 and verse 33, verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. There we see, just trying to get away. Just what happened in Mark chapter 6, if you look maybe in your Bible, some topics, 14 through 29, it is the murder of John the Baptist. And the people saw the departing, and many knew him, who? Christ. And ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them and came together unto him. They knew where he was going. They see him taken off in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And what do? A bunch of people run around the outside and meet him where they know where he's going. Maybe a spot that he has communicated with them before. Maybe a spot he's taught before. He says, I know a special spot. And God, Christ has been doing such amazing and miraculous things. There, they run ahead. Ugh. What does Christ want to do? He just wants to get alone for a few minutes. Just give me some time. Just let me grieve. Just let me deal with this and maybe decompress these things. And there he shows up and there's everybody already waiting. Ever come home from work? And you pull in. I don't know who's listening to this, but maybe you see your mother-in-law's car. Maybe you see, I had a rough day at work, and you see the driveway filled with people, and you just immediately, all right, I got to switch gears. Now I'm going to be hospitable. And there Christ gets off the boat. There he gets to the spot that he wants to be, and he looks, and what does he see? He sees thousands of people needy. Because they too, remember, just lost John the Baptist. Their leader, someone that's been guiding them. Remember John the Baptist? What was he? He was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. He prepared the way for Jesus. They've been listening to him for a long time. He was a great man of faith. He didn't mince any words. He called it out. He caused some trouble, if you will, even. And here, what does Christ say? He gets there, and he looks out, and what does he see? And Jesus, when he came out in verse 34, saw much people. And the Bible says, and was moved with compassion toward them. You know, what does he see? He sees a hillside full of people, and God in his wisdom and all knowledge knows there's a lot of problems sitting out there. And he has compassion. There's some people that had some needs there, and they went to the best place they possibly could, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've talked to people and said, oh, I can't go to church. My life's a mess. Hey, you've got to get to church. You've got to get to Christ. He's the only one that can fix your problems. You go anywhere else, you're going to be disappointed. And here, there's a multitude. The Bible says, and he came out and saw much people, and he was disheartened. No, that's not what it says. And he was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep having no shepherd. John the Baptist just died. He looked out and he saw the Passover about to getting close to taking place. This was early in the day. We're going to see the day transpires. He does some things before he feeds 5,000 people. And there, if you can imagine in his mind, the setting of it all. There he is, the Lamb. There he has all the people now. John the Baptist, their leader, is gone. And here, could this possibly be the transition of Israel to accept the Messiah? On the hillside there that day, imagine the potential that he saw. How many people were there? Well, the Bible tells us later on that there, it says much people. We're given a number later on. He sits them down in groups of people. But much people. There were a lot of needs there that day. 5,000 men in addition to women and children. That's a lot of people. And the Bible said he had compassion on them because he saw them as a sheep having no shepherd. And here stands the good shepherd. There's much more significance here than just a number of people meeting on the hillside, getting a message and seeing some bread broken. This is the Lord Jesus Christ shepherding people. meeting their needs. He says this, and he began to teach them many things. In my preparation for today, each and every week, I really try and scale back Saturday night. I try and get a good night's sleep. I try and mentally and physically prepare, spiritually prepare for today. Because, for I taught a Sunday school class, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Jacob could teach you 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Yes? You feel confident? He could do it. Ask him when he gets home. What he doesn't get, Benjamin will fill in. All right? Bethany said she could do it. She could do it. So we did already 1 Corinthians chapter 8, preaching out of this and then getting ready for the message tonight. And you know what? That drains you. And here Christ shows up with a broken heart. And what does he do? He has compassion. He has compassion. And he ministers and he teaches them. And began to teach them many things. Why? Because they were a shepherd. They were sheep having no shepherd. You know, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 23. I want to just read it to you in verse 37. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under his wings. And he says this, and he says these sad words. He said, how often? And this was an instance. And you would not. He says, I just want to be your shepherd. And so many times the Lord Jesus Christ reaches out to us in our personal life. And what do? We resist rather than accept. He's there to teach us things and guide us through things. And go to Luke chapter 9. Not only did he teach, what else did he do? This is the setting. We have thousands of people on a hillside, a grassy hillside. We'll see that in a little bit. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And the people, when he knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, right? He taught them many things. We just read that. In addition to that, what does it say? And healed them that had need of healing. If we went from this side of the room to that side of the room, surely there's some sort of affliction everybody had, right? Everybody's got something. And there, not only is he teaching many things, but he's healing people. It's getting late in the day. Go back to Mark chapter 6. Say, why do you keep jumping us around? Just for fun. And it helps you see all the things. Because it's a blessing to study your scriptures. And you can see things back in here. And it all just kind of blends together. Mark chapter 6 and verse 36. The same passage that we were just at. And the disciples have an idea. Verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, so they got there early. He's been teaching many things. Healing. He's tired. He's heartbroken. They're hungry. Ever deal with hungry children? Hungry people get angry. Been there for a while. What kind of people are here? Well, I'll tell you, they're unprepared. And I would dare say, maybe on the economic side, on the lighter side. In verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. He says, it's getting dark. There was no Wegmans. There was no McDonald's. It wasn't, you could do that. They came up with this idea, send them away. They may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread. For they have nothing to eat. So God, these people now, you've met their needs spiritually, but honestly, just a realistic situation, they're hungry and we got no food. So I was talking with the guys and they think it's a good idea. And what a wrong thing to tell the Lord Jesus Christ what to do. Isn't that kind of like our prayer life? All right, God, here's what I need you to do. I need you to do this and do this and do that. Because that That'd just make it a lot easier and comfortable and convenient for me. And that's kind of what they're doing here. Lord, here's what you need to do. You need to send them away because here's our circumstances. And we got no food. We got no money. We got no food. We cannot provide for them. And this is going to get ugly quick. It says this, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. The significance to that thought. There's a lot of people in this world that are trying to buy themselves bread when the Lord has it to provide for you. I'm telling you, the best thing you could do is come and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to meet your needs. The setting here is there's thousands of people that have just been ministered to spiritually, heard the teachings. Brother Garrett, could you imagine all day listening to the teachings of Jesus? Reading every name right. Knowing the depth and the... could account for, Brother Parrott, creation firsthand. He saw it. Could describe the fall of Satan himself. Was sitting right there. Wow. Could you imagine him being able to describe Abraham? His voice, his sound, his height, his look. He knew it. Imagine the teachings of Christ. They've been listening to that. He's going by, he's touching people, he's healing people. People that were once blind are now seeing. People that could never have walked are now walking again. People that had issues of blood. People that, all the things, palsy, all of the circumstances, all of those things are being healed. No one's being turned away. No one says, I'm sorry, I just can't help you with that. You've all gone to clinics or you've all gone to doctors and the doctors at some point say, I'm sorry, there's nothing else I can do. You've heard those stories. Jesus never had to say that. And here it is at the end of the night and it's getting dark and it's getting on towards the night. Hey, if these people are going to be able to get some food, we're going to have to send them back out. We've got nothing. And that's the setting. Go back to John chapter 6. How many of you remember high school? How of you like getting called on in school? Does anybody know? And there was always that one kid up front. I know. You know. No one likes getting questioned. That's the setting. That's what's going on right now. John chapter 6 and verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, yes, Philip. Out of all the guys, why did he ask Philip? I don't know. Well, I have a thought. But he asked Philip, and he asked this question, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Because that would be the obvious answer. What are we going to do? How are we going to provide? How shall we buy bread? They have a need. We need to provide it. And he said, to prove him. There was no preparation. He didn't come to Philip and say, hey, in a few moments, I'm going to ask you about some of our options for feeding these people. I want you to think about it, and I'll come back to you. He just wanted immediate response. Philip, tell me what we should do right now. Because he wanted to see where he's at in his heart. Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ puts us in situations just to see how we would respond right then. No preparation, no nothing. All of a sudden, there you are standing, going to get in your car, and a guy comes up and says, hey man, I'm trying to catch the bus. Do you got a few dollars that I could get on the bus? It wasn't like you saw him from afar off. It wasn't like you had time to get in your car and quick lock the doors and put up your window and scream out of there. You are immediately faced with an opportunity to be a help. Say, do you help people? Yeah, as much as you can. Pray for wisdom, discernment. Sometimes you evaluate the situation and go, I'll go buy you something. Anyways, immediate response. That's what he wanted from Philip. Tell me, what should we do? Why? Because he wanted to hear what's going on inside his heart. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He said, if we had 200, that's like 200 days' wages. If we had 200 days' wages, that would not be enough to feed everybody. Why? Because there's thousands of people here. Thousands. There was something about Philip's heart. I don't know what it was, but the Lord saw something and he wanted to draw attention to it. Ever have those rhetorical questions, or when the Lord asks you a question, it's not necessarily for you to answer, but to make you think? And that was one of those questions. Hey, what do you think we should do? Because we're going to see a later response in just a moment. Go with me. Hold your hand in John chapter 6. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1. If you had known me, you should have known... John 14:7. I'm sorry. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus answered unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? There he questions Philip again. There's something going on in Philip's heart. And Christ is trying to work. You know, what he worked on with Philip was different than what he worked on with Peter. Peter was all in. Maybe Philip was a little hesitant. Sure, he was kind of walking through, but maybe he was a little peripheral in his faith. Maybe he was the realist. And God was trying to teach Philip a little bit of faith. So he asked Philip. He says, well, what do you think we should do? 200 pennyworth. What did Philip do? He ignored who he was talking to. God, if you could, do you know who you're talking to? Where's the phrase, what thinkest thou, Lord? That would have been the right answer. Philip, what do you think we should do? I was just thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to let you take this one, Lord, because I have no idea. Wouldn't that be a great response? It's not wrong to say, I don't know. Philip is trying to produce an answer. He's trying to answer the Lord when there's no answer. His mind doesn't think like that. He ignored the higher possibility. Philip then goes, maybe he goes and talks to some of the other guys and says, this is what the Lord just asked me. I don't know. I feel like there might be more to this question. I don't know. How would you have answered? Peter, what would you have said? One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves. I can imagine the situation. Can you just imagine it? There Christ is. Maybe he's next in line to getting healed. Maybe he's there standing with his grandmother. Maybe he's standing there and he's hearing this conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and Philip. And the Lord says to Philip, we got to feed all these people. And Philip says, I don't got any money. I got no food. The best thing to do is to send these people away. Somehow, that message got relayed to a little boy. And that little boy says, you can have all that I have. Taught Philip something that day. We look at our circumstance and say, this is what I need for success. This is what I need for victory. You just need a little bit of faith. And that's what that little boy showed up with that day. It wasn't, hey, listen, 5 barley loaves, you know what that is? That is cheap food. That is discounted material. That is what the poor ate. They're not loaves of bread. It's not like ciabatta bread, focaccia bread. This isn't good stuff. This is just to get you through the day. They're little rolls. The fish, you know what the fish were? Those were these dried fish. That's why they could take them so far away. Hey, listen, if you're taking fish and you're going on a trip, that's going to stink. They're these dried, possibly pickled little fish like sardines. Delicious. had a little pizza last night with some anchovies on it, just trying to fulfill. The faith of a little boy. This little boy didn't go back to mom or dad and say, hey, listen, they're talking, we're going to have to pack up and go. They're saying we're going to have to go buy all our own stuff. No, he said, well, this is what I got. I just saw him touch this guy and he couldn't see and now he sees. I wonder what he can do with these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Here you go. Here you go. What can he do with your little bit of faith? Lord, I can't build a church. I got $10 in my pocket. What's that going to do? Let me see. I can't feed thousands of people. I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Give it to me. Our little in the hands of the Savior does great much. Hold your hand in John chapter 6. Let's go to John chapter 21. We're almost done. I heard the beeper. I don't know who does that. It's noon, just in case anybody needed to know. It's noon. Online watchers, noon. Are we still at 16? No. Normally people usually leave, and that's good. John chapter 21 and verse 9. Setting here, Christ is resurrected. It's done. Died, buried, resurrected. John chapter 21. Peter says, right, verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. He's frustrated, doesn't know what to do, lost, wandering. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going back to what I used to do. Right? Isn't that what he said? I go fishing. The Lord goes out of his great compassion and mercy and long-suffering. The Lord goes and meets up with Peter and all the disciples. And as soon as they were come to the land, right, he tells them, hey, cast your nets on this side and bring in all the fish. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there. Look at now. And fish laid thereon and bread. Verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, was not the net broken. Look at verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. You know, Peter brings all his fish, and you know what the Lord says? I've already made some. I don't need it. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord? Verse 13, then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Sounds like John chapter 6 to me. There he was, and there they were, lacking faith. And what are they, wandering around trying to make sense of life? And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm going to teach you something. And he uses a little lad with 5 loaves, small barley loaves of bread, and 2 small little fishes. And he's about to feed 5,000 people. Here, similar situation. Peter and John, they're back fishing. They've doubted a bit. And the Lord goes, and what does he do? Does what he did back in John chapter 6. John chapter 21, verse 1. Look at where we are. John 21 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Where? At the Sea of Tiberias. This is a familiar place. I wonder if in the background they look and there's that grassy hill. Lord knows what he's doing. Lord knows how to work in your life. And he knows, please understand, that just a little bit of faith goes a long way with the Lord Jesus Christ. He just wants you to be willing. It was the heart of the child that set this miracle in place. while the adults are trying to make sense of it all. First, we saw the setting. Second, we saw the questioning. Third, we saw the faith. Last, we'll see the feeding. Mark chapter 6 and verse 39, it says this: there was green grass. Grandpa Haight, no other grass to have than green grass. That's what we shoot for. That's what we want. This is Augusta National, right? This is no weeds. This is manicured. This is nice. Green grass. The Bible says in John chapter 9 and John chapter 6 and verse 10, and there was much grass in the place. So you get the setting, right? You understand what's going on. John chapter 6 and verse 10. So there they all are on this grassy hill, grassy place. In verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. He sets them up and he breaks them down into 50s. Luke chapter 9 says in 50s. In Mark chapter 10, or Mark chapter 6, it says 50s and hundreds. There was 5,000 plus women and children. That's a lot of people. What is he about to do? He breaks the bread, blesses it, and they're about to eat. Why? Because in that same chapter, do you understand? He's about to, John chapter 6 and verse 48, he says, I am that bread of life. Not only does he feed 5,000, but then he brings it all back to him and their need for him. Five small loaves. I have two teenage sons. Five rolls and two small fish wouldn't even feed one. And yet somehow the Lord says this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit everybody down in groups of 50 and some 100. And there, why? Maybe to get a quick count. And I want you to, I don't know how it worked. Logistically, I'm trying to see it. I can't even make sense of it. Maybe it was a bag of food and he just kept taking out and just, you know, like the cruise of oil, just kept pouring and there was just oil. I don't know if he took his little bag and there he just kept handing out rolls. It's like Mary Poppins. I don't know what it was. And just things just kept coming out and there's another fish and there's another roll and there's another fish and there's another roll. And he feeds 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. The Jewish custom was that the head of the house was only to speak the blessing if he himself shared in the meal. If they who sat down were not guests, but his own household and children, he might speak the blessing even if he didn't partake. And what do we see? The Lord giving thanks for this. Say, wow, that's amazing. Five rolls, two fish, little faith of a boy, feeds 5,000 plus people. It doesn't stop there. He then tells the disciples, here, take these wicker baskets. They're cheap little baskets. Take these little baskets and go collect what's left. And he gave them each a basket. And guess how many baskets were filled? 12 baskets. You know what that tells me? Say what? That's amazing. How do you start with five rolls, two fish, feed 5,000 plus people, and end with more than you started with? Each disciple. Again, this is my mind. But why do you have the disciples do it? Because they were the ones that lacked in faith. He had them sit down and he had them distribute the food. He didn't let the boy just gave the lunch. In my mind, I see the Lord sitting there maybe on a rock, on a stump, or whatever it is, and he's sitting there and the little boy just sitting next to him, just smiling ear to ear. And there's the disciples walking around going, I cannot believe this. I don't know if the Lord nudged him and said, here, look at Philip. He's seeing it. He's seeing, listen now, he's seeing your faith. Each disciple had a basket to fill. When I come to the Lord Jesus Christ with a little bit, can I tell you, I always leave with a whole lot more. I came to him one day as a 10-year-old boy. I humbled myself and I asked him to save my soul. Just a little bit of faith. And you know what I walked away with? A basket full. The Bible says, and they were filled. Brother Rodell, if I took you to the restaurant and I said, you and your family, eat as much as you want until you're full, I'll pick up the bill. That's a lot. I've seen Mikey eat. That's a lot. No. How about 5,000 men plus women and children, and they were filled? That's a lot of food. And yet had 12 baskets left. You know, the Lord has an ability to fill each of us. Oh, he's good for him. No, he's good for you. When I came to the Lord, you know what I walked away with? One small act of faith led to eternal life. I had a new family. Now I have purpose. I have joy. I experienced unconditional love. I experienced forgiveness. I walked away with a basket full of blessings. Because a little faith goes a long way. A little faith helped a man walk on water. Bible says, just a little faith. A little faith can move mountains. That's what he says. Here, a little faith fed 5,000. And I just ask in your life, what do you have to offer to the Lord? Say, it's nothing. It's so minuscule. It would almost even be a shame to give it to God. Are you kidding me? Take what you have and give it to the Lord. It's amazing what he could do with it. Let's all stand. When little becomes much. Say, Pastor, I don't have much. Great. He doesn't need much. He just wants you. He just wants a little bit of faith. I'm going to ask a real serious question. If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, if you've never asked him to forgive you of your sins, that's the most important thing. Christian, if you're here today, say, I've done that, but I don't know much after that. How about you just give him what little you have and allow him to do great things? Say, what is he going to do? I have no idea. I'm not the Lord. But I saw what he did with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So much so that 12 guys walked away with 12 basketfuls. When little becomes much. To be saved, it's simple. It's admitting you're a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The penalty of sin is awful. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and to believe completely that he could do that, confessing our sins to him, you know what? We become a child of God. Our sins are forgiven. Eternity is granted. Praise the Lord for that. But then after, I hope maybe somehow, some way you saw yourself in this passage. Maybe you saw yourself as Philip. Maybe you want to see yourself as the little boy. In a moment, the music's going to play. Whatever the Lord touched your heart about today, I invite you to this altar. Just come and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for the story. Thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy to us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation now that you'd be honored and glorified. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message that we heard here this morning? May the Lord touch your heart in some way. I know it's a familiar story. I know we've heard it 100 times before. But maybe there's an area, maybe there's something in your heart. Maybe you're little, you want to give to the Lord today. God, I don't have